Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for kickoffs and kick-ons.
Yes, rugby union, what a wonderful sport it is. The game they play in Havaianas. Magical, magical weekend for rugby union. I mean, honestly, one of the greatest weekends of rugby union we've ever seen.
It was a good weekend.
Don't chat yet, Drew. I haven't introduced you. We saw the English beat the Irish. I mean, who saw that coming? And the Italians, they beat the Scots. The mighty Reds, they downed the Chiefs. And then best of all, say it with me, Bulawanaka, the Drua beat the Crusaders. So much rugby to chat if you are sick for scrums, if you love a line out, if you've got a raging for a ruck, or if you're mad for a maul. This is the place to be here on kickoffs and kick-ons. Let's introduce Drew Mitchell. Hi, Drew.
Hey, you didn't even read that.
Yeah, I practiced because the CEO was coming in.
Oh, is that why you dressed up?
Yeah, that's why I dressed up. I hear there's a few jobs going at RA, and I'd like one. Is that...
Are you a chance?
Oh, I think I am. I think
hopefully
I might
you're
be.
Not reading.
No, that's why I didn't read.
That's probably why the intro was so good.
Yeah,
because he memorised, he didn't read.
Put a bit of pressure on him.
Also introducing Matt Giddo. Gits, thanks for driving up from Canberra today.
No, great. It's good to be here.
But there is somebody missing. You want to comment on Swift?
Well, I mean, he's not here, but we'll probably get the same amount out of him.
Out of everybody not to show up, he's not the one.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that's going to get the boot put in the most. Now, we do have a very special guest today. As you've noticed, we've all got dressed up because last week, if you didn't see it, we had Joe Schmidt on, the coach.
Mm.
Big deal, new appointment. And I think we did good for him. Thoughts?
I thought he was great for us too.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
He was very funny, very relaxed.
Yeah, he was good.
Like he's in good hands. Now, Phil, I'm about to bring you in, but Tommy writes a little intro for our esteemed guest. So I'm going to read it. Tommy Erskine's work, not mine. All right, here we go.
Fuck.
Do you want to read it?
No.
I'm going to read it at the pace you read.
You're only going to get better by experience.
To be completely transparent. No. To be completely transparent, our very special guest this week has put us $2.6 million over budget. But we are not panicking because we hear that kind of thing is going around. Tommy, that is punchy to say.
Oh,
yeah, it's a good start. I like it, though.
This gentleman has played 79 tests for the Wallabies and 136 games for the Waratahs, but now he has chopped off the lush blonde mullet for a short back and size and has traded a blood-soaked jersey for an MJ Bale 52 slim-cut suit. Very good, Tommy. So please stand on your desks and chant, CEO, my CEO, as we introduce the man who was a terrier on the field but is now the big dog at Rugby Australia. Please welcome the CEO of Rugby Australia, Mr. Phil Waugh.
Big dog. Wolf.
Yeah.
It's quite the intro.
Yeah. Tommy does it.
I probably would have left out the first bit. The bit
not
was
over,
all right.
Not over
I
the
actually
kind.
Thought they cutting off the blonde locks. I'm not sure he cut them.
You think they just fell out?
I'm not a betting man.
Short back and sides and the zero
business.
On top.
It's a business attire. I like it.
Very punchy to start with. This is great. A couple of things I need to get into first, Phil. This isn't Oliveri Sink. They've provided it for us today. It's keeping our beers cool. Thank you to Oliveri and Appliances Online for doing that. Better beer, they're not sponsoring, but Ollie's had a sniff that they might be interested.
So we're plugging.
That's how desperate we are here, Phil. So we're plugging them in the hope.
I do actually like this beer, though.
Is it a good beer?
Yeah, I like
it. Say it into one of the cameras. We'll send it direct to the guys.
I really like this beer.
Fantastic. Also, let me say this. We have our first... Well, our first CEO, but also our first official sponsor for Kickoffs.
You're kidding.
Kickoffs. I'm not joking.
Really?
Yes, it is NordVPN. You can see it just over my shoulder here.
What do they
That's
do?
That's a poor
well,
sign.
Well, basically what they do, and it's a wonderful sign, Tommy. You've done a great job. So what they do is you can get access to anything from anywhere around the world on the internet. Right?
Anywhere.
Anywhere. So, for example, Drew, you can protect your private data, like bank details, passwords, and your online identity, so no one on Tinder will steal it.
Okay.
That's what NordVPN do. Gets, when you're in the US, you can stream rugby from all over the world, all their servers, you can do whatever you want. And Phil, if you want, you can get use VPN, NordVPN, for six different devices at once. I don't know why you'd need six devices, but in the event that you do. So here's the deal, right? Go there, nordvpn.com/thecocoshow. If you go on that, then you...
I think it's a forward slash.
Is that a forward or a backslash? Forward slash? Who's using forward slashes these days? That's
what's
cool.
The difference? Is it where it starts?
One's going like that and one's going like that.
Which one's what?
Well, that one's forward because it's going towards...
Oh, the front of the line is forward.
Did you know that, Phil? You're in the corporate world. Did you know that was a backslash or a forward slash?
Oh, of course I knew that.
Okay. No. Thanks for joining us. That was the only question we had for you. Oh, the other thing, socials. You can find us Kickoffs and Kick-Ons. That's everywhere, Insta, X, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing quite well on all of those. YouTube is up to 7,500. Phil, we said if we get to 50,000 subscribers by the end of Super Rugby, I'm going to go get a hair transplant in Turkey. See, I've let it grow in a bit so the Turks can see what they're working with.
I reckon it's all right.
I'm with you, Phil. I'm with you. We look great. You're going to do a show nude?
Yep.
And
just with the big neck slug
tat.
Out?
Not neck tat. Well, they said neck tat, but it's a tat.
On your neck. Yeah. Then Swoop's going to change his name. Okay. Hey, let's get into this proper. We've got a lot to chat about, lots of Super Rugby. We've got the CEO here. We've also a big weekend for for Six Nations Rugby, or you Northern Hemisphere legends. Get ready. We're going to have the Six Nations summation. But let's start with the great man, Phil Waugh. I'm going to start first question, Phil.
Ooh.
No, you've got to ease him in. Yeah. It was quite a calamitous year last year, Phil. That's a nice way of putting it. And I guess for all us rugby union fans out there, I'm the fan, these guys are the players. Where is Rugby Australia right now? Can you give us hope?
Well, we are hopeful. We've got a lot of work to do. I know you had Joe on the show last week, so I'd prefer to under-promise and over-deliver. But as I said, we've got a lot of work to do. Pleasingly, we've got a good coach. Peter Horn, Director of High Performance. And, when 86% of our revenue comes through the men's 15s, the best way to drive that through performance. So, it's been a tough 6 months in the role. These guys are laughing at me.
Mate, I just think, like, you've obviously taken on this role and, it's obviously a big job, but I just don't know if anything could have gone worse for you in the first 6 months. You've just come in and you're under fire.
Yeah, I haven't lost any hair yet.
No, that's still very lush.
I missed getting beaten up on the bottom of the rucks so much. I thought I'd go into sports administration.
Yeah,
and at least when the kicks in when I was playing were coming from the opposition. Now they come from everywhere.
What do you think's the biggest? What's been the biggest challenge? I know you've had a lot. Like Drew was saying, there's been lots of things out there. What do you reckon? Is it the head coach? Has that been the biggest headache that you've had?
I think, as I said, performance is important. I mean, you've played in plenty of World Cups. Still got one in you, I think?
I don't know. Have you got a contract for me?
I think that everyone went into 23 World Cup with a lot of optimism, I think, or the season particularly, and we didn't deliver. So, and then the pressure builds on the back of that. So I think it's all been pretty challenging, but As I said, I think we're making progress. I think,
yep.
I did say the other day, you can score 100 by scoring a lot of singles. And we're just trying to chip things. Chip
I like that.
You love cricket.
You love cricket. That.
Yeah. Well, you're from the war family.
That's right.
You're the worst worst cricketer.
cricket.
Mate, there was a high-performance review from the Rugby World Cup 2023. I think there was, 23 sort of findings or suggestions or...
We call them recommendations.
Recommendations that came out of that. But how do you go about that? Like... Do you narrow it down to just a few that you put into action, or is it trying to score singles on each of those 23? Like, how do you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty thorough. I mean, it's and like all the reviews are, they're thorough. And, came out with 23 recommendations. How do you summarise it and look at the ones that are achievable in a short period of time and then prioritise them accordingly? It's not like we've got thousands of people at RA. Sometimes people may think that, but it's about actually how do you prioritise.
You've walked a few out.
That's a bit harsh, true.
No, I mean, not you. Maybe.
But I do think it's about ticking off the ones that are going to be most impactful in a short period of time. And, when you think about the Lions isn't that far away. We've got, Wales for two tests, Georgia, then we go on the Rugby Championship, and then we've got a spring tour, and then the next test after November is going to be the first test against the British and Irish Lions. So it's not too far away. So, how do we focus on, the cultural aspects and ensuring that, the test team is performing at the level it needs to?
Because I noticed there was a great article on the Fin Review, and they quoted a couple of things you said. And one of the things you said was that 23 showed a failure of culture and trust. Have you got any examples you can give us? We have the same problem in our group.
What was said? Sorry.
Mr. War did not release the report in full. This is you, Mr. War. But said it showed a failure of culture and trust. Can you give us any examples? Anything juicy?
Yeah, well, we did... We did release all 23 recommendations. Didn't release the full report, but I think the undertone of it was a real lack of trust across not just within the team. Within the team and management, but right through the organisation. So, and as you know, the best teams are the ones with the best cultures and a high level of trust. And we've got a lot of work to do in that space.
I mean, speaking on the trust part, and I know that some of these people that were involved in it are now gone, but how is it possible that we go 2.6 mil over budget?
I didn't even see that coming, and then you just go bang.
But you know what I mean? Like,
crunchy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
you're mates with Warren.
I mean, that's why I feel like I can ask, because being over budget's one thing. Sometimes things always blow out, but by that much in a time where we don't really have any cash, Hamish has come in, wanted to spend it all on leagues. The limited money we did have. Now it's blown out to over $2 million or something. Like, how does it get to that point? And is it just him signing it off, or is it other people blowing the budget out, or is it Eddie and his two team buses going to each training session?
Yeah, how much were the cattle prods? What are we talking here?
I'm not sure if that was a speech or a question. Or
I don't know.
I was wondering
how you've overspent that much?
Yeah, I mean, how does it get to that point?
Or how do we get some of that?
Well, it's a good question, Drew. I think, and I answered it last week, it wasn't just one line item. It was a few throughout the year May onwards. And a lot of it was around, travel, team costs, player costs. And, the reality is that a lot of it came retrospectively. So it came after the event, and a lot of the invoices came in after the event. And, the reality is, timing was difficult because we had a head coach, come in, particularly late going into a World Cup campaign. And you want to set the team up for success with every opportunity. So, as I said last week, there's no excuses. We've got to tighten up our delegation of authority and stick to it, and you'll see a far more disciplined RA going forward.
Yeah, because you talk about the trust and transparency piece, and I only go back to sort of our experiences. In 2015, we got called back from check on the Giddo law and told by RA that there was no money for us. We played that rugby championship and the World Cup for nothing. But with the best endeavours from Rugby Australia to kind of fill that, right, and said that we didn't have any money, there's no money there for it. And then when we made the World Cup final, Bill Pulver and the board and every other C-suite at Rugby Australia get on a first-class flight and get put up for fight. That sort of stuff puts your noses out, And I think, with from the players as well, they've a few years ago, would have had to have taken a cut through COVID and all these type of thing, and then you see the overspending from, you know, the suits. That's why I think it's a really important part, to, like what you were talking about,
yeah,
the trust and the
not
transparency.
To call them suits.
Well, he's wearing suits.
Yeah, I'm wearing one as well. Yeah. Wait, are you trying to? Are you shaking Worry down for cash from
2015? No. But I'm just saying,
yeah,
like, because
no, I agree.
It for
doesn't
us,
you. Because you're getting... making a sacrifice to play for your country.
Yeah,
which is fine because you still want to play for your Wallabies. Like, the Wallabies at the top level, for me, it was also the opportunity to get to 100 caps. Like, a lot of that stuff is very enticing, and you give up the contract. Well, we had to, even at Toulon. You know, we went, I think, 3-4 months without any pay, which is tough, but you're making the sacrifice for what you think is the right reasons. But then you see the other side, the people asking you to make that sacrifice, and they're not willing to make a sacrifice themselves. Mm. It does get the players offside a little bit. But I don't know your question. Where are we going?
No, I was just sort of saying, you know, to your point about the trust and transparency, I think it's like, it's obviously a really, you know, like a crucial, I guess, recommendation from that high performance review to really get on the top of. Because whether it's trust and transparency in the finances or in the selection process or where players sit, like, you know, all that sort of stuff, just, it just breeds throughout the culture, and either breeds positively or negatively throughout, you know. I think I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Yeah. There's no real question.
Phil's
well,
still
know
sitting
is,
here thinking, what do I answer?
Have you seen the documentary, the Stan documentary?
Yeah.
Why were you not featuring in that?
Because I'm in the background supporting the team.
Well, it doesn't seem like that every press conference. You're getting out in front of the cameras there. I would have liked just a little cameo. What did you think about that?
Oh, I think it humanised the players. I think that shows how much they put into it, how much they cared. I mean, you guys just talked about how, you know, you came back and played in the World Cup for no money. It was nice. Yeah. Thanks for that, guys. Well. But it just showed how much the guys put into the campaign. Didn't come out the way they would have liked, but they certainly put a lot in. And it's important, I think, for the audience and our supporters to actually recognise how much our guys are putting in for the gold jersey and for the country. And you know, I think it's, and we saw that come through the commitment from the players in the review and the process of the review. You know, they put everything they possibly could into the 23 campaign. It didn't work out the way they would have liked and the way that we would have all liked. But it certainly made the players look human. You know, show how much they cared.
Yep.
What did you rate it out of 5, the series?
I'm not on one of those ratings.
You know what? They asked everyone when we're here, said, give us a rating. And I said, oh, okay, whatever I rate. What did I give it, 2.5?
2.5 out of 5 or something.
And then it got to every other person. They said, yeah, I did.
In full?
Yeah, in full. But I felt like it, for me, I gave it 2.5 because I would have liked something afterwards to hear what the players thought of, say, Eddie then going to Japan or... Because they were speaking in the heat of the moment at the time that was happening. And then I would have liked to have heard more about them when Eddie wasn't involved in selections, all that stuff, where it's now heading. I just would have liked a little bit more closure is why I gave it 2.5.
See, it's perfectly set up for another series. As a TV producer myself, maybe they're setting it up for the Wallabies doco season 2024. And then you get that stuff at the start.
The maybe. Road to the Lions.
Have you heard anything, Phil? Are they shooting again?
I kind of like that, the Road to the Lions.
Yeah, yeah, that is good. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Good. Oh, no, but it's Stan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I've given him an idea. Oh, dear.
Phil, let's look at some positivity here. We did have Joe Schmidt in last week, and he was such a lovely gent to us. Great sense of humour. Put up with the fact that Drew had lost his voice, but was really good with his time. To the point where if the Wallabies now lose, I think we'll still feel good because he was so nice to us. Do you think that the Schmidt effect is already in play with the way that we've seen these super rugby clubs, the Reds beat the Chiefs, obviously the Tars beat the Crusaders? Do you think there's already an uplift because of Joe?
I wouldn't say it's just because of Joe. I think that, you know, the guys, and you saw that through the documentary, how much they were hurting. Mm. And, you know, the problem is they played the last game, I think the first weekend of October, and you've got to wait all the way until February to play again. So so I think that they've been hanging to get it back out into the field. But, you know, there's certainly an air of looking forward and performing. And I think we've seen that in a few instances over the first 3 weeks. But I wouldn't call it the Joe effect just yet. But I do think there's a maturity and a level of experience that's coming into the environment now, which is, you know, we've got a lot to be optimistic about.
We spoke with Joe last week as well about appointing his assistant staff. Are you involved in any of that? Like, do you have to sign off, or are you across those conversations? Are we close to maybe announcing a few? Or
Yeah, well, again, so there'll be a few direct appointments from Joe to his team, and then we'll run a process for about seven or eight roles across the management team. But I always said, like, the head coach is one piece. The best thing about a really good head coach is they attract the best assistant coaches with them, and the management team that they put around them. So we're pretty optimistic that we'll get the right assistant coaches and management team.
There's been some whispers that maybe Laurie Fisher's had a tap on the shoulder, maybe looking to get him involved with the Lord. Is he a chance? Is his name being thrown up?
Everyone's a chance.
Oh, come on. Give us some scoop.
You're a chance.
Yeah, no, I'm not a chance.
But we will get the best assistant coaches.
Okay, so Laurie Fisher's in.
I was reading, if we're talking about appointing people, I read in the 23 points that you are looking to employ an experienced strength and conditioning expert to lead physical prep with national and super teams. It's a gentleman over here that likes to do Broncos very early. Mm. I mean, he's very fit. Do you want to take your shirt off, Gits, for this?
No, I prefer not to. Should I?
Yeah.
Nah, I couldn't.
Oh, mate, if the boss tells you to take your shirt off.
Well, he's not my boss.
Yeah, actually, that's why we didn't wear
that's
suits
today.
That's
why we're dressed like this.
I always like those players that retire and then get fit.
You like Tucky.
It's like Tucky, yeah.
Matty Dunning.
Matt Dunning, yeah. Matt Dunning, yeah.
Couldn't get through 5 minutes. Now he can run marathons.
Not me.
No. Yeah, you seem to... you had to go at it for a little
I'm
bit,
I'm just consistent.
So, yeah, he's in with a chance, Gits. We're just trying to get us all
Everyone's employed. In with a chance.
Oh, okay. Saying. Yeah. All right, very good. Yeah. Now, there are a couple more tough questions,
no
Phil, if you don't mind. You're doing very well. It's very hot in here, I think. Have you done hot. That deliberately, Hugo?
It feels like it's getting hotter.
Turn the heat on the CEO. I'm burning. The Rebels, for all the Rebels fans.
Oh.
We have to.
Yeah,
imagine
I agree.
We didn't
I agree.
People like, oh, why didn't you ask about the Rebels?
Yeah.
The Rebels. It's talking them suing RA. If you do need a lawyer, Drew knows a guy.
I've got him on a retainer.
Yeah. What is the latest with the Rebels? Can you give us anything? What's happening there?
I'm not sure how much I can give you, but I guess we've stood up the team to perform in 24. So that was really important for us, is to have as little disruption for the 24 season as possible. And then in parallel, I guess we're looking at what does 25 and beyond look like. But our priority up until this point has been very much how do we deliver a successful 24 season for the Rebels, and then assess what's the right structure going forward from 25 and beyond.
Okay, and because that, I would imagine that wouldn't be a short process, right? Like, you know, there's plenty of things you have to tick off. But what about if there's, like, you know, some short immediate wins for the players, like your Taniela Tupou, you know, your marquee players that are down there that you don't want to lose to French rugby or Japan or wherever else? Is there contingencies about trying to keep them? Is it trying to keep them in Rugby Australia first and foremost, but maybe having to place them somewhere else? Or do that not a bridge you've crossed yet?
I think one of the great... things that Rupa support the players and the players' association. So one of the great elements is that the tripartite agreements between RA, the Super Rugby Club, and the player. So that's where essentially we've picked up all the player roster. And now they're employees of Rugby Australia. So, yeah, we'll work through, again, it's about 24, and then, you know, what does 25 look like? And ensuring that if there is, that the Rebels in 25 and beyond, making sure that they've got a strong roster going into the 25 season.
All right, is that the grilling for Phil? Geez, you've done well, Phil, in a very hot...
Oh, mate, you're looking this way when you're asking the questions, and I'm feeling the heat. So I reckon that's enough. Is there anything else you want to clear up?
Is it me that's... hot, or is it just the room?
I think it could be the room and also the questions coming this way. I'm like that.
Very, very good. Hey, Phil, let me ask you. There's one I wanted to know. You were probably in a decent job because you play a lot of rugby for Australia. What made you decide I want to be CEO of Rugby Australia at the time that you did?
That's another very good question. I love the game, and so sort of, you know, started when I was four, and I guess retired, and then went out into business and enjoyed my time in finance, and then, you know, this opportunity came up, and look, I love the game. I think I've got a lot to offer. I think the timing, might have been a bit 6 months too early, but I think the timing and what we've got ahead of us with the Lions, Home World Cup for 27 and Home World Cup for the women's game in 29, it's an exciting time for rugby, and I genuinely think I can make a difference, and so hopefully I can do that. And you know, we're starting to put the right people in the right roles and get the right culture within Australian rugby. And I think there's a lot of people right around, not just Australia, but the world that want to see Australian rugby do well. And you know, I'm certainly committed to that.
The last thing we'll ask you, right? We've all got this vision, this view, because we had this 10-year plan. Ours goes all the way up until the Olympics in Brisbane. We just added that on the end. We figured because the sevens are there. And it's easy to sell a business after 10 years. We got some advice. So
we won't be around in 10
years. No, I know. So what? Let's start with in the end of this year, what does success look like for the Wallabies? And then let's go another 12 months after that, after the British and Lions are here. What does success look like for Rugby Australia there?
Yeah, I've always said that our biggest challenge is connecting the community game to the professional game, and I think that's drifted further and further apart over time. So success to me looks like a fully sort of integrated rugby ecosystem where the community feels engaged and passionate about the professional teams. You know, if we can do that this year and get progress and performances through the test matches this year, there's a lot of excitement going into the Lions. You know, you want to win that Lions series. I mean, that's the big one that the team needs to build towards between now and July next year. And as I said, there's a lot of work to do. But the biggest one, I keep coming back to the word connection, but actually how do we just connect the game to the community?
Well, just on the – sorry, Drew, you've asked a lot of questions. The Lions, did you play? Did you play when they were here in Australia?
I played, yeah, but and I played.
Keep going. You played Waratahs, is that right?
Australia A on the Wednesday night, and then the Waratahs on the Saturday night.
Yep.
And then was that famous 23rd man for the test matches. So I didn't play a test match, but I played two games.
If it was nowadays, you would have got a jumper. They got 23. But how was the experience? Like you going through that build up, how big it is around Australia, the touring group, like. Is it something you know? Obviously, it's the big carrot for Australian rugby.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, aside from World Cups, it's probably the biggest series you can play in. And you know, I remember 2001. You know, the build up, and it wasn't just about the test matches. It was actually about the midweek games as well. Mm. And you have 20,000-25,000 British and Irish Lions supporters travelling over and right behind the team and following them around the country. So I still go back and, you know, well, it was a long time ago, but that'd be one of the highlights of my career, was just being involved in that series and the passion that comes from the UK. But also, I think, you know, after that first test in Brisbane where it was the Sea of Red at the Gabba, it was probably the first time in that second test when all of a sudden everyone was encouraged to wear golden jerseys. Mm-hmm. And that was the start of everyone wearing gold following the Wallabies. So it's going to be an awesome tour next year. And remember that 2021 tour of South Africa, there were no crowds. So no British and Irish Lions supporters got to come out to South Africa. So it's actually been 8 years by the time they get the chance to come back and support the Lions.
And lastly, how do we officially get involved? How do we get...
Is that a personal question? Or
with the kickoffs and kick-ons, yeah. Like, you know, how can we... basically get on RA's money train.
How can we support the game?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
By getting paid.
Yeah.
So we're just giving back, like time.
Yeah.
Is that where we are?
Okay, sure. Yep.
Time's good.
Time spent.
Time's good and a lot of positivity.
Okay, sure.
That's what we're doing. We're spreading the good word. It's good. Of superb rugby. That's what we're calling it now, not?
It has
rugby?
Super
rugby.
All right.
Superb rugby.
When did we start that today? Yeah,
just then.
I like it.
Now, you might have seen we gave Schmitty one of these. Schmidt it in.
He was wearing it.
Yeah, this is our little catchphrase.
Was he wearing it out afterwards?
He wore it straight into the office.
No, I saw. He got that off very quick.
Yeah.
I saw him back with that.
We want you to start wearing this around the offices of RA. Okay.
Because if the boss is wearing it, then everyone has to.
Perfect.
They might even just start saying it. Look, let's Schmidt it in today, Worry.
Schmidt's a catchphrase.
You know what I mean? Like everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was Schmidt, what you just said. No, it was actually Drew.
That Drew,
yeah, that one right there.
This
he
one
came
here.
Up with this idea.
Can you believe it? So if you could just wear that around any press conference you give, you know, any media sort of opportunity.
Finish every meeting. All right, let's Schmidt it in.
Yeah. If you don't mind. Good. Very good. Were these guys all right to play with back in the day, or were they a bit...
Yeah, no, all right's good. That's good.
All right, hey.
All right.
Okay, hey, Phil, thank you so much for your time. That is you. You've done it. Is there anything else you want to tell us? Anything else? I mean, this is a global platform.
Oh, yeah.
The whole world is listening.
I think you guys are doing a good job. Good balance between you know, covering the game in a positive way and sometimes slightly funny. You are, anyway.
Yeah. Well, he's a comedian.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Rugby league comedian.
We were on the Today Show, though.
We were.
Yeah. So maybe if you say something controversial, we'll get back on there.
With Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can make it happen.
Well, you know what? It worked well for Michael Clark. He said something about Carl. And that,
yeah.
Oh, I don't remember what it was. All right, that was Phil Wall. Phil, thanks for coming in. You've got your 2 o'clock now, so you better go. We do have we have Les Kiss coming up, I believe, gents.
I need to go for one.
Do you?
Yes.
We're going to revisit how he gave you that real heartfelt message.
Oh, we can talk to him. Yeah.
But no, thanks, Phil. I know you've got plenty of things going on at the moment, so thanks for taking some time to sit in the hot seat.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Phil.
It's been a pleasure.
Are we meant to shake Phil's hand? I think we
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks,
mate.
Thank you
very much. Thanks, Phil. Thanks for coming.
My hands are sweaty.
I'm sweaty.
Good on you. Hold on. You're doing the right thing.
Well, there he was, Phil Waugh,
Rugby
CEO.
Tough gig, coming in here and chatting to us.
Can you think of any worse gig than rugby CEO at the moment?
I thought you were talking about chatting to us.
it's not an easy gig to have.
I reckon Joe Roth.
Roffy?
Because he's also volunteering. So he's not getting paid and he's got the same headaches. At least Warrie's on a good salary.
Is he?
You'd think so. I saw his watch. His suit, he looked nice. He smelled nice.
Also, no surprise, goes straight to the cash.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, you had to choose what's a worse job. I reckon to do the same job as Warrie but not get paid is probably worse.
Dead right. Cash, cash, cash.
Well, yeah, Swoop's turned up.
Yeah. Yes, Adam Asher Cooper has arrived. He had his 1:30 and now he's come in. Thanks for coming in, Swoop.
What'd you think of Warrie?
If you're listening on the podcast, what's happened here is Drew's dressed up a pillow in a kickoff and kick-on shirt. And it's contributing about the same.
Maybe more.
Maybe more?
Yeah.
We almost need to
show
because
we're getting a laugh off it as well.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for coming in, Swoop. Hope the meeting went well. Warrie said to say g'day, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk some Super Rugby.
Yeah.
Or as now
Super. Working,
superb Rugby.
Oh, superb.
Yeah.
Super? Superb.
Super.
How that's more French.
Yeah.
That's it.
Superb. No, super.
Super. It was quite the weekend of Super Rugby. There is a real revitalisation of Australian and Kiwi rugby happening at the moment. I can't help but think it's coinciding with this show. Do you think?
Well, it's the Joe effect or the Coco effect. What do you think?
It's the Coco Joe effect. That's what they say. Now, I know you watched every minute of it, Gits. You love the Superb Rugby.
Yeah, I love the Superb Rugby.
Rebels, 29, defeated Moana Pacifica. It will go down in history, this game, because Julian Sevilla, who you boys played a lot against when he was at the Hurricanes, he's broken the all-time try-scoring record. Congrats to him.
Yeah, the bus.
Yes.
Yeah, he did well.
I've got 61 tries in his career so far. I think I'm probably responsible for about 5 or 6 of those at least, with some missed tackles, marking back in the day.
Oh, was that fun?
Just the 5 or 6, you reckon?
Well, maybe a bit of inflation.
Who was the worst person to mark on the wing?
I always say Joe Rokitoko.
Yeah, right.
Because he had everything. He had the ability to bump me, step me, gas me, and then chip me. And he did all four. Like, he just had the full arsenal, I think.
What about in at 10 or 12? Who was the worst?
Oh, take your pick. Really, I'd probably say the most challenging, only because I played him so often, they always would win, would be Ma'an Onu, who I play with in San Diego, so I know he loves the show. And a quick shout out to all the Seals, just while we're on it. Darcy Breen, our captain, he won the golf challenge for our mini teams challenge. So good on you, Darce. Keep up the good work.
And how's the actual team going?
Oh, we won. Oh. Yep, we beat Dallas. Bonus point win. So now we're off and running.
Go the San Diego Legion. Who's filling in for you while you're not there? It's not Swoop, is it?
No, it's not. No, so I get updates from the Seals, and then obviously we've got a big squad. Lincoln McClutchie, who's just come from New Zealand, got his visa. Young 10 from New Zealand, he's going well. Josh Henderson is the other 10 there, so they're both going really well.
Very good. Now, the Rebels, they were behind with about 15 to go, but lots of experience shown there. I've got here Andrew Kellaway.
Yeah, Kellaway, he's been in good form.
Yeah.
Started the season really strong. Shifted to the wing this weekend, I thought was interesting. He'd been in such good form at fullback, put him to the wing so strong, could play fullback, but he's found a way to have his fingerprints all over this game. He's in some red hot form. See what I did there?
Red?
He's redhead.
Yeah, got it. Is he in your Wallabies 15? We can start doing that now. It's about 15 weeks to
It's very early.
That's very early. What are we, 3 rounds in?
Yeah.
But I'd say, look, he's in great form. He'd be one of the better fullback outside backs that are playing at the moment. So,
all right, very good.
In the form he's in.
Highlanders 23, they defeated the Waratahs. Obviously, the Tars had a kick to win it.
Yep.
Tane Edmed on the death.
Yeah.
40 or 39, just a touch to the, which way are we facing, left or right? What would you say?
He would have been left, to the left.
To the left. Yeah.
Yep.
To the left and just spewed it right.
Yeah, you got to make those.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's tough sometimes on goal kickers when the game's in the balance and they've got an opportunity to win it. But at the same time, like that's, they've also, they get the plaudits when they win the game in those fashions. So, you know, I think he'd probably 9 times out of 10 hit that.
Yeah. So oh, he wouldn't be happy with the kick, but you should never blame the kickers.
Well,
I think.
Well, then that means we don't give you the, you know, pump you up when you kick the game to kick the goal to win it.
Yes, you do. That's exactly what you do.
Oh, okay.
So if you lose, you lose the team. And if you win, then it goes to the kicker. I thought the Tars did enough to win, though. The game shouldn't have been as close as it was. It shouldn't have relied on the kick at the end.
The where he put the ball in the tee was not where the infringement happened.
Further back?
They shaved him, yeah. He should have been a little bit closer, a little bit
more
in front.
Oh, he should have been closer.
Yeah. But anyway.
Do you reckon Gitz would have nailed that?
Yeah.
I definitely would have been on the mark, that's for sure. Probably a little bit before. Sometimes when the ref looks back at the post and does the action, like you're taking the kick, as he moves across, I'll just roll the ball with my left foot and look over to grab water. Just, I'd sneak an extra metre and a half.
Yeah.
Like, most kicks.
Experience. Old school. See, when the ref called the penalty, I saw Tane's face. And it was a look of, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know, as you know, you seasoned vets.
Yeah.
You'd be just stern. Right, here we go. Slot this one.
But inside going, oh, fuck. Yeah.
That's a shame. But they're looking good. Drewer, 20.
This is a better one.
This is our favourite one. Defeated
isn't it?
The Crusaders.
Yeah. Drew, here's your moment to win them back.
$3.50.
Oh, you don't bet on the games, do you?
No.
Oh, I did.
Did you? Did you bet on it?
Yeah.
Say it with me.
Yeah.
Say it with me. Bull of an ucker, motherfuckers.
Good. Look, I just, every time they go up there, they're just a different team. Oh. And Crusaders, you know, lost against the Waratahs the week before. They just haven't started strong. I just thought, you know, was it Lau Toka? That's where they played.
It is Lau Toka, yeah.
Yeah, just a different beast up there. And I think they've got more and more home games this year. So they're going to be...
Oh, it's packed.
Yeah, you know, much like the sort of the French mindset. Like, they're going to be a bloody hard team to beat at home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But there were reports down at Super Round in Melbourne that next year the Super Round will be in Fiji.
Get us over there.
A weekend.
Imagine holiday swoop in Fiji. Do you think the players, so obviously the Crusaders go there, bit of a different joint, Fiji to Canterbury. Do you think they get a bit carried away and maybe have a few Mai Tais the night before, swim up bar, or do you think they're professional?
I think they're definitely professional, but it's just hostile. It looks very hostile
and
to
warm,
play
right?
in. Well, yeah, warm as well, yeah. But I think Melbourne was warm as well. Yeah, I'm not too sure. Obviously, the Drew are playing at home, similar to what you were saying, Drew, with the French. You just don't lose at home. You just, for whatever reason, it's not that you're more proud playing at home, but you just find an extra length, you know, when you play in front of your crowd. Just looking at the fans and the way they're going off, the atmosphere, it looks amazing there.
Remind me, did Crusaders win round one against Chiefs?
No.
So they're 0-3.
Yeah.
Razor's gone.
That's unheard of. Yeah. Rob Penny doing good things with the Crusaders.
Worst start since 1996 for the first year.
Since 96.
That's Tommy's just chipped in. You don't have a mic, Tom. Do you want to come and sit in and be... He's just said, worst start since when, Tommy? 1996.
That Andrew Merton's era.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
There you go. Lots to talk about there at the Crusaders. Lots to fix. Brumbies, your Brums.
Yes.
22, they defeated the Force. 19. Force, they started the game. That they had a 14-0 lead.
Yeah. Brumbies came from behind. You were on the flight with the Brumbies after the Super Round, were you?
Yes,
on the
I
way
was.
Home.
Yep.
It was pretty... Like, we saw a lot of the guys in the lounge. It was...
You had a chat to Steve Larkin,
pretty,
didn't
pretty
you?
Pretty quiet.
Yeah, very quick chat to Bernie. I just told him areas that he could fix up. You know, he's obviously a new coach, so I gave him a bit of advice. No, that obviously they didn't get off to a good start, but then the way they were able to claw back into that game, get the crowd involved. I thought Lonergan was huge again.
Yeah.
He's been amazing for them. Even Nick White commenting that the reason he left the Brumbies was to give someone like Ryan Lonergan an opportunity to, you know, move on and start to... begin his rugby journey or try and push on a little bit more, give him more game time. I'm not sure that's accurate.
Yeah, like, well...
If you're there...
It's a good sentiment.
It's a nice sentiment, yeah.
Oh, so you call him BS?
No. I think, obviously, Whitey's a great player. He's a great competitor. That may look that way, that's how we wanted to go, but I think moving over to Force, having a fresh chance was more what appealed to him.
Very good. Now, it was down to the wire, which all these superb rugby games from the weekend, this is the thing, they're all going down to the wire. 3 minutes to go, 70 metres the force went. Harry Potter.
Yeah.
He was out there.
The wizard.
The wizard. I'm a wizard, Harry. He knocked it on, sadly, and the force missed their opportunity. But you've got to love those last-minute dashes from teams. Keeps it exciting.
Well, we saw it in another competition over the weekend as well.
Well, we did. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Northern Hemisphere Legends. Stick around for that. Six Nations summation. And a reminder, Les Kiss coming up very soon. Hurricanes, 29 defeated the Blues. That's a bit of an upset there. The Blues favourites going
especially
into the season.
Especially with Jordy Barrett. Yeah, he's not playing.
Yeah. You know, did he get 3 to 4 weeks of signing suspension? Maybe 4 and reduced to 3?
Yeah.
Oh, 5 to 2, 5 to 3?
How does that happen? 5 to 3?
Oh, I think you go to rugby tackling school or something. I know it's rubbish.
You're kidding, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Naholo is a thing of beauty.
Oh,
I don't know.
He's a beast.
Holy jeez, was.
Remember we were looking at him from the stand at the Super Round and we're just like, have a look at the size of that bloke. He was bigger than their prop.
Winger, yeah. Just the way he can move.
There was his brother, I'm pretty sure it's Waiseki's brother.
That you played against.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he was a beast.
Yeah.
And it looks like this guy's just been in fertilizer for a bit longer. Yeah. Jesus.
The Riley Higgins try where he palmed off, it was like 17 players. He was going back to players, picking them up off the ground.
You
and
think
palming
you can get me?
Again.
You have another
this?
One. Yeah.
And then just beautiful little inside ball. Goodness me. Yeah, he's one to watch.
Gee, you love your rugby now,
Paul. But I'm right into it.
Yeah.
But I'm an idiot like that. Like for a period there, I was right into the LPGA. Don't know why. Just found it.
Oh, because the ladies are really good golfers. That's probably why.
Oh, that's why.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, guys, in the last game of the weekend, the Mighty Reds, 25, took down the top of the table Chiefs. What a great win for the Reds.
And great scenes.
Amazing scenes there at Suncorp. And I would get your take on it, but I've actually found someone that was probably there and probably knows it a little better. Do you mind if we cross?
Yeah, sure.
Go for it.
Let's cross now to the Reds coach, Les Kiss. Are you there, Les?
Reading you loud and clear, guys. Cheers.
Thank you so much for joining us, Les. Amazing win on the weekend, mate. You must be pretty pumped with the start of the season.
Yeah, I've got to say it's pleasing for sure. The weekend was, really a good yardstick for us about where we've come so far in the season. We're not going to get carried away with ourselves, obviously, but look, it was a fantastic effort, particularly the last, 2 or 3 minutes on our try line. Shows the character of the team for sure. So to get that win, obviously very pleasing and really pleased for the boys, that's for sure.
You've got to be happy with the consistency. I think obviously with a young squad, that's always the challenge, getting them up. You know, 1 week they'll be up, say for the Tars week, or get back down. But consistently, they've been putting in these really good performances for the first three rounds. You happy with that?
Yeah, it gets, to get that repeatable effort week in, week out is a massive, massive step up for the boys. I think in previous seasons they could come up with a big effort and possibly not just double it up with another big effort, if you know what I mean. So over the last 4 weeks, including the trial, the boys have kept turning up. The effort base is there. It hasn't been perfect by no means. We've made some errors. We had a few charge downs in the weekend, et cetera, like that. But as I say, when shit happens, that's when you find out about yourself, how much you dig in. And I think we saw the boys dig in deep to make sure they got it right.
Mate, you talk about backing up the effort, and it's two sides to the effort. It's the physical, but also the mental. And sometimes, well, I guess in the last sort of 10, 15 years across Australian teams and Wallabies, we've probably been guilty of, once we have a good performance, of getting the pats on the back to not being able to get to the same level mentally the following week. So how do you go about making sure that they have that repeat effort physically, but also mentally are engaged as well for the next challenge?
Yeah, well, you know, I've only been here this period, 6 months, seven, 8 months, just to get to know the boys. I think one of the qualities that they do have, they are very ambitious. They're very hungry, this group of players. I think one of the real pluses that I have had is that the coaching team in Brad, Zane and Jonathan Fisher and Dale Robertson happening also, they've really had really targeted remits each week for individuals and also for our units and also for our team. And the way that they've put their plans together with the team has kept them engaged, because ultimately the physical side of the game has to be matched by the mental side of the game, and it then has to be matched by the emotional side of the game. And if you look at all our games, you know, that we brought a certain emotion to the New South Wales Waratahs. The Canes was a different proposition. You know, we had to tap into the physical domain just to match a really big, powerful side. This week we went to a little bit of a strategy and tactical game, so we moved into that sort of mentality side of things and also brought a bit of emotion into it as well. So we're just trying to make sure that we keep the variables in place so that the blokes are excited each week about how we can step forward productively. So not just going to physical, emotional on its own right each week. We're trying to vary it and make it interesting. And ultimately, the boys at this stage have really bought in.
Now, Les, you know better than anybody what a crowd at Suncorp can sound like. And I was watching it at home. Geez, it sounded good, everybody that showed up to watch the Reds on the weekend. Mate, surely this must just build from here. Thousands and thousands and thousands, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's pleasing. I really love the way that, you know, when Tate and Liam talk and the other boys row in, how they talk about what it means to perform at Suncorp, at Lang Park, as I still call it at the times, but at Suncorp Stadium, they find it really special what the crowd can do for them. And I think that's the biggest crowd we've had for 12 months, just under 17,000. Hopefully that builds, and if it does, it's just going to become more and more exciting. And, you know, there's no doubt it helped us on the weekend. It was no doubt it did help us. I know that our effort, digging deep, finding a way, all qualities that are important. But I do think we played rather intelligently at times. Possibly some errors just put us on the back foot, which meant we spent a lot of time in our own half there for a while and put ourselves under pressure. But I thought we played intelligently throughout the game. But it did help to have that crowd there. You know, if we can start tipping that crowd up to 20,000 plus, it's going to be an enormous, enormous atmosphere that'll only help us for sure.
Well, one way to bring the crowd is the way that your team defended right at the dying stage of that game. I mean, I think it was, 23 phases to hold them out. You must have been pretty proud of that.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at the thing that led up to that 23 phases was the Chiefs did what they do well. They made a massively good line break, some really good support play. But, you know, we suddenly had about 8 maroon jerseys in the picture frame. You know, they talk the TV frame, Drewy, we had about 8 jerseys in the frame, and Fraser made a wonderful tackle, got them to ground, and before you knew it, we had, you know, 15 guys behind the ruck ready to defend the line. So I thought the thing that led up to it was the last minute of the game, the last couple of minutes, we had guys rallying back, scrambling back to get behind the line and make sure that we defended. So that in itself set off a heap of energy for us. That I think energy creates energy, and the energy to get back behind the ruck and then defend with your life was brilliant. There was one or two occasions the ref said, step back, be on side. And the boys, even under fatigue, made the step back and got back on side. You know, so those intelligent things came through for us under fatigue as well. And then you have the crowd behind us. Absolutely, absolutely fantastic, but absolutely wonderful to see those last minutes and you know, young Harry McLaughlin Phillips to get that steal at the end was pretty special.
Yeah, you've got to be obviously excited. As you said, the games aren't perfect. They're not playing super well. But what you can see from these first three rounds, well, what I notice is the care.
Like, you can see, like, it's not perfect, but the effort's there that you talk about. You can see that that care factor's there. Is there anything that you did in the preseason that was a bit funky, a bit different? Because I know you're a bit of a spiritual being. Is there anything that you got the boys doing to really buy in or get them together?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You know, one of our key values is care. And one of the things with care is when you care enough, you've got to connect with each other. So care and connect are fairly important to us. And by connect, I mean, you know, off the pitch, find out a little bit more about each other, you know, care for each other's different personalities. It's one of the things I've really pushed along, that everyone should be able to be their true self. Mm. And at any given time, you must know when it crosses the line at the expense of the team. But I do want people to bring themselves, you know, who they are. When you bring yourself to the game, then you can be, you know, truly the best rugby player that you can be. So mm-hmm. we really push that. And so part of the care factor is appreciating everyone's differences, you know, what they bring as their personality. And if we allow those things to flourish, then we get the best player for sure. Absolutely. So care is massive for us. And it's not just put my arm around someone and say, good on you, mate, I'm with you. It's having pride in how you leave your locker room, your locker in the locker room, having pride in how you look after your plan each day and each week, and in how you look after your nutrition and fuel up. It's how you look after your recovery period. Caring for the things that matter, that make you better each day, because we're in this together. And if one person drops off, and you know the thing about teams, mate, and teamship, everyone's got to row in. So our care and connect are true values that we're living up to at the moment. And, you know, those things aren't rocket science, but it does take commitment. And I'm really pleased with the fact that the boys are really bought into that. And in actual fact, you can have a word in the wall, a couple of words on a wall, but I'm really pleased with how they've brought that to life themselves. Each man is really rowing in.
Yeah.
Well, you're obviously striking a chord with them, Les, because I know that when we bumped into you up at the Super Round, you were chatting to Gitz. I think, Gitz, you were going for a Les kiss.
Was going for a Les kiss, yes.
And you bumped into him, and then you, after that, you said he had changed you, that it was just a little chat.
Yeah.
But he said a couple of things to you. Do you remember what Les...
Yeah, he just, as I was walking past, he was just saying, Gitz, you know, age, it's not a number. You know, I really mean that deep inside. I could see the care, you know, from Les, and the spiritual, just like, you know, I was ready to run through a brick wall after he told me.
Gitz, it's true, mate. You know, for you to put a jersey on, we can put a number around it and make it matter more, but it isn't the thing that matters. It's what you give to that jersey when you put it on, how you feel it for yourself, for your mates. They're the things that matter. And I do think genuine conversation like that with anyone are important. Mm. And, you know, if I look at my way that I interact with the players, it's very much about the person and trying to appreciate their points of difference they have as their personality, as well as the way they play the game. But, you know, we're not big on numbers. Numbers are important in stats and all those things. The most important things are our behaviours and our actions and our commitment to our values.
Yeah, love it. I was ready to go.
Well, someone who's been going really well is Fraser McWright. He's been in some form to start the season, Les.
Yeah, he's class, isn't he? I think one thing I really love, look, I know the turnovers that he goes for, and his tackling work rate and all that, but he's got this real energy to support everything, and good sevens, good open siders, their support play is unbelievable. And he has been on the back of nearly every line break we've made, every half line break we make. He is just on fire, and there's no doubt he's got two tries to date this season. You know, he just puts himself around the park, but he's sniffing out these opportunities relentlessly. And to see him, Harry, you know, Tate set it off, and Sully on the right-hand side the other night to set off that short side breakaway, and then Fraze gets the gravy. Beautiful. But he's in a hot vein form, that's for sure. And he's so driven, that guy. And I think his game's getting more and more complete, that's for sure. Mm.
So you know, we had him on the show, Les. He was one of our guests. So do you think you need to thank us for maybe adding to his game, or...
I see where it's come from, the secret sauce.
That's it. We gave him the gravy. You talk about he got the gravy on the weekend.
Yeah, gravy and you know, a bit of mash on the side, you know, make it taste well.
Yeah, Drew's the mash, yeah. I think.
Here's the mash.
Hey, Les, Reds are going great as well, but something else we like to do on this show, and feel free to cut us off. Oh, you got just, one for him before? Yep, go for it.
Mate, just a quick one on James O'Connor. How far away is he playing, and where do you see him fitting in, and what sort of a role do you think he'll be playing once he's fit to go?
Mate, he's been brilliant to date. I've probably mentioned a couple of interviews already, but he is so deep into this preparation weekend out of the moment. He sits with the boys, the young tens, and goes through a lot of stuff with them, and he's really engaged. He is now kicking a ball fully. He's running at around 85-90% at least now, so he's getting closer and closer. The big thing I don't want for James is to rush it. I want him to make sure he's fine before he comes back, but he'll play a part. You know, I can't say where and when, but once he comes back and he's fully fit, we'll move into a mode where we can see it can fit. We also got Lawson Creighton as well, so we're really got some great options there. But you know, someone of Rab's experience will come into play somewhere. But he's getting closer and closer. I wouldn't say the next 2 weeks, but after that, we're going to get close.
Very good question, mate.
He's good, isn't he,
mate?
Jeez, he's good.
Yeah. Waste of talent. Hey, Les, back in Melbourne this weekend. You're obviously there last weekend. You got the Rebels. They've obviously come off a win. Few former Reds playing, Taniela Tupou, Alex Maffey, et cetera, et cetera. Are you boys up for that against the Rebels?
I hope so. Look, they're a good team, aren't they, at the moment? I think throughout the early parts of their preseason, and then I think the second half of the fourth match, which is 1.5 games ago, they suddenly found their mojo, didn't they? And now they got some good players in there. But I think what I saw at the second half of the fourth match, the Moana Pacific game, their pack played more like a pack, you know, less about their individuals. So we can't get lost down the rabbit hole of just trying to focus on one player. The same in their back line, you know. Some really handy players there. Kellaway's, you know, he's feeding off the back of some really good quality stuff inside him. So as a full back line and a full pack, we just got to make sure we get our plan right about that, and then, you know, turn up and be connected in terms of what we want to achieve with our game plan. Look, it's going to be an important game at the end of the weekend. One of us will be 3 from 4. The other one will be 2 from 4. So it's a pretty important match, isn't it?
Yeah. Very big match. Hey, Les, last week when we were in Melbourne, we had Joe Schmidt on the show, and he impressed us all thoroughly. I know that you've worked under Joe as defensive coach for Ireland. Are you pretty pumped to have him over here in the system now?
Yeah, well, look, you know, Joe and I go back a fair way. We've done a lot of stuff together. So, look, it's a guy who will get the right things done, you know. I mean, he's very smart. He knows his rugby inside out. He's got an uncanny ability to remember names and things and games. So he'll bring a lot of things to the table for sure. I think everyone should be really pleased with what we've got coming here with Joe. He knows how to build us. Simple is not the right word. He builds a really comprehensive plan that demands everyone knows their role and then go and do it. And that makes it very uncomplicated. It's probably better than saying it's simple. It's just uncomplicated, and everyone does their job well, and things are possible. So, you know, I think we've got a bit of work to do in Australian rugby to get right. But I think we're on the right path. I think there's good enough people in our system, good enough talent to be able to go well, but we've got to be patient with it as well, and be sure that we get the right things in place right across our rugby program in Australia. And I think, you know, we've got a good man that can do really good things for us.
So one thing that we say on the show is Schmidt it in. We're going to go and Schmidt it in. And we've even got shirts made up. See where's my hand here? Schmidt it in shirt. So do you think with Joe at the helm, Wallabies are going to Schmidt it in?
I think we're a good chance, buddy.
Schmidt, yeah.
I'd really like you to say we're going to Schmidt it in.
Mate, if I say that, Joe's going to come at me. But I'll say
Joe's got a shirt.
Schmidt it in. Yes. Where's my shirt?
Yeah, we'll send you one up for sure.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah. Lovely. So let's go and Schmidt it in, I reckon.
Yeah.
Very good. Hey, Les, we're about to let you go. We know you've got another meeting. Just before you do, we like to chat. We do a Six Nations summation on this show as well for all our Northern Hemisphere viewers. I know you worked up there for a long time. Did you catch any of the action over the weekend up in the Northern Hemisphere?
Oh, bloody oath I did. I think this weekend's rugby, the last two weekends weren't as compelling and as gripping, I didn't think, but this weekend really lit it up, I thought. Mm. England, who would have thought, they played exceptionally well. Despite the fact that their rush defence got cut up by the Irish attack a few times, they managed to scramble well and keep in the hunt. And then, I thought they played a more progressive style of football than they have for the bloody year, for a full year at least. But that was compelling. Scotland, really, I guess they'd be disappointed for sure. But I have to take my hat off to Italy. They just seem to be getting better. Last year, they were pretty good too. And to get one draw and one win, it's probably their most successful Six Nations for a long time. So the naysayers can say what they want. They are really coming good at the moment. And their under-20s team is also very, very good at the moment, getting some critical wins too. So they got some things coming through. And, Wales tried their best, didn't they? But, France look a bit shaky, don't they? They're not as complete as you would like, whether it's the DuPont not being there or whatever. But they don't look as complete, but they managed to get the money in the end. I was really pleased with the quality of rugby over the weekend in the Six Nations. I still think it'll be tough to beat Ireland now. They won't get their Grand Slam, but they will get another Six Nations.
Yeah. Les, as we understand it, if Scotland beat them by 77, that they can win, which gets you think they're in with that shot?
You never know. St. Paddy's Day.
They could all be drunk going into it.
They could be, yeah. And Drew actually, he jinxed them by saying Grand Slam to Mac. They didn't get it is potentially Drew's fault.
Hey, Drew, what are you doing, buddy?
Well, that's just sometimes it's a curse to have this much power, Les.
don't have him cheering for the Reds, Les.
Listen, stay away from us, please, Drew.
Hey, very good. We'll let you go, Les. Thanks so much for your time, mate. Reds.
Les. And yeah. Les, just lastly.
Mate, we're letting him go.
Just can you just put like maybe an indoor plant or something on the wall? It's just a bit bare, that room.
Yeah, very bare.
Well, I'll get my bonsai in next time, okay?
Oh, yeah. I used to have a bonsai in France. Lovely plant.
Let him go.
Yeah, they're a lovely plant, aren't they?
Yeah.
And you know how when you cut it, it makes your personality. So it looks a bit weird, mine.
Mine died.
Well, you're not touching mine, mate. Stay away from my bonsai.
Mate, it was gifted to me. It's 50 years old and it died within 6 months. Jeez.
That says so much.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Les.
Thank you.
See you later.
No worries. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Very good, Les. Kiss.
Mate, what I wanted to ask him, but then Drew went on the bonsai. It was a solar moon or a weird moon.
Oh, yeah.
He would have got up to some funky stuff.
Oh, I think he's still there. Les, are you there?
He's still there, Les.
Just real quick.
Yeah, the solar moon.
Yeah, wasn't it on last night? Did you get out dancing in the rain or something?
I got on the roof and had a look up and took it all in, so... Beautiful.
I knew he would have. Yeah. That's why I love Les.
All right, Les. Thank you.
Thanks, Les.
Very good.
He's off for a Les kiss. Do you reckon he says, I'm going for a Les?
You'd have to, wouldn't you?
Aye.
If they were saying, you want to go for a Drew Mitchell, Drew like a Snitzel or something, I don't know. You'd use that.
Yeah.
How good is he?
You even call it Drugo Boss, like for Hugo Boss and all that.
Well, I don't call it that. That's what they call it.
Okay, yeah.
You say DuPont, don't you?
No, it's other people. I'm just... Okay. I'm just the voice of them.
I do like when you... say it to Les. You say, I'm going for a Les kiss to Les. Mm. And he says, well, at least my name's not Darren Britt.
He's always seen the upside.
He has.
Yeah. He's a glass half full guy.
He is. He's inspirational. And I think he's doing the right things for the Reds.
He's doing some good things.
Do you consider yourself still a Red?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've played for them, so you can't erase that. So part of me's a Red, part of me's a Force, part of me's Waratah, part of me's Randwick, part of me's Balmain, part of me's Kalamunda Bulls, part of me's Pine Rivers Pumas, UQ,
Toulon. San Diego,
Beverly Hills Rugby Club. There's a few clubs.
If you had to pick one, or you get shot out of Queensland, New South Wales, or Force, which team do you support?
I'd say the Tars.
Tars, okay. So he's not a Red.
There you go. Very good. Were you at the Tars game on the weekend?
No. I had a weekend off of footy. I was actually down at Matt's wife's 40th.
Yes, how was your wife's 40th, Matt?
Fantastic. She had a great time. She has a great time. I have a great time.
And how was Drew and was Swoop there?
No. Swoop might have had a 12.
Did he?
Yeah, on the Monday.
Okay. Did you Swoop?
Good. He's been very good today, hasn't he? Very, very good. Hey, it's time now for the Six Nations summation. Yes, indeed. What a weekend of rugby up there in the north.
Didn't we just do that?
With Les?
Yeah.
He surmised it quite well.
He did do well.
We're going to summate the summation.
Well, maybe you give your summation.
Okay, sure.
People want to know, you played a long time in Europe. You know what the conditions are like up there. Les touched on each game, but let's start with England defeating Ireland. Nobody saw this coming. Ireland were paying $1.15.
Winks.
Yeah. Winks.
But Winks delivered.
Yeah.
But, yeah, England got the chocolates.
You know who I liked? Ollie Lawrence at 12. I thought he played a really good game. He's sort of been there or thereabouts, been in good form for Bath for a long time, but he just looked really comfortable out there on the weekend, and he was involved in a lot of this. He almost picked up a second try. I think there was a slight little knock-on before that was put down, but he's just, without Manu Tuilagi, he just maybe they found their guy.
Yeah, I actually thought they scrambled really well. Mm. So there were times when Ireland were behind. Then when they got back in front, I thought they'd just kick on with it through their experience. But England, they were up for the fight. Denny Kerr's 100th.
Yeah.
His 100th test match. So obviously they had a bit to play for as well.
Rag and Bone. He sung at halftime.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he still going around?
What do you mean still? I don't think he's that old.
What's Who am he I sing? Thinking of?
He's a big guy.
You're thinking of Billy Joel.
No, I was thinking Hootie and the Blowfish.
I don't know.
Mate, similar. Very similar.
What does Rag and Bone sing?
I don't know. Thank you, Ollie.
I'm only human.
After all. Marcus Smith, who follows this show, is a big fan of the Coco.
We'll get him on.
DM you. Yeah, hopefully he comes on. What a great return to international footy for him, slotting the field goal to win it. Amazing stuff.
Oh, epic
and slipped
scenes.
Over.
Yeah, slipped over. I think he's probably already trying to run away and just start cheering. Just getting yourself in those moments. Obviously, the team got themselves into that area of the field, and then, sit back in the pocket, put it through. I mean, that's what we talked about earlier.
Yeah,
get those opportunities.
Yeah,
and it's now all the kicker's fault.
Well, no, but I think what helped is that they had advantage, which would have been a harder kick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew his thinking, but yeah, it was good, really good for him. Obviously, great confidence for England. Going forward, they obviously show they're on the right path, and Ireland who. You were saying Jamie Heaslip had a bit to say.
Yeah, a few of the guys going into the weekend's game were giving their tips and predictions, and I think he said something around Ireland would have to have 13 players off the field for England to get close or something. And I think there's just a bit of
Which is great that he thinks that. But as a player, if you're getting ready for that test week, and then these headlines come out, it puts so much more pressure on you, and then also gives the opposition more ammunition, to get up for the game.
Are they the type of things that the coach then sticks in the room?
Sometimes.
To inspire you?
Yeah, I think England would have.
Yeah.
Ireland, not so much.
Yeah.
23-22, and an England side, I guess rebuilding, but, and they always talk about they've got the cattle but couldn't find the right way to do it, but showed it for 80 minutes. Is that the best way to put it?
Yep. Yeah, I think, obviously.
Good summation.
Yeah, thank very you, good.
And Ireland, do you think they were looking forward to the Scotland game, didn't think about what was right in front of them, or...
It's hard to know. I mean, they were just probably a little bit off.
England did play well. They said, well, it was a good game. I thought Ireland played well. It wasn't that they played poorly. It's just England put up a better performance than a more complete performance.
And that yellow card from Omani obviously didn't help.
Yeah.
But those types of infringements are when you're under pressure. So England had Ireland under pressure and you feel like you've got to do something and you go out of what is normally, your standards or your protocols within the team and you act out on your own and you get a yellow card, that's because of the pressure they're under.
And, of course, the other thing was because you said to Mac Hansen about the Grand Slam. Is another reason they lost.
That's the main reason.
Mm.
Yeah.
Obviously, Scotland, Italy, Scotland as well. They were probably looking ahead to St. Paddy's Day, thinking, what if? They obviously went down to Italy 31-29. Gone are the days of Italy getting pumped by 80 every week. They are a genuine side now.
Well, it's not even really... I mean, you're surprised by the result, but it's not shocking like it would have been maybe 5 years ago. They're consistently getting better, poaching a couple of Aussies. They got two Aussies on the wing there. They're Italians. Just have them, trying to claim the victory a little bit, being
Australian. We're good at that, aren't we?
Yeah, we are very good at that. But it was a great performance. I thought really good. In Rome, too, the atmosphere looked unreal.
Yeah, I thought also... Like Louis Lyon, obviously, his debut, amazing. Gets a try on debut. I think he said he's retired now. But
you know, for guys to just to come in, they've been building for a long time. And there was, it was probably only 5 years ago, there were people asking, like calling them for, to be kicked out of the Six Nations and maybe replaced by Georgia. I remember when Toulon, Mamuka Gugodzi, the Georgian great, was basically going at Sergio Parise, the Italian great at the time, kind of saying, well, let's play off for it. You know, like the loser of, because there's a second tier Six Nations in Europe. The winner of that play the loser of the Six Nations and maybe
it
for
should
the,
be
the
a relegation
place.
Thing over there.
But what I mean by that is Italy have just grown every time they've gone out there over the last few years, and and like you say, there it's no longer becoming shocking that they're going out and beating these teams and you know really strong performances.
First home win for Italy in Italy in 11 years in the Six Nations, and you could see it on their faces. Yeah. There was tears of joy.
Could you imagine the party? Singing.
Oh yeah.
Even when we would play there, and we'd beat them, you'd go to the nightclub, and they've got fire shining. The boys are on top of the table like the Italian players.
Yeah.
That was after a loss.
What were you drinking after?
I was on the waters. I was getting ready for next week.
I was on the vodkas. Great.
Getting ready.
Of course you were. Hey, the last one, Wales, France, in Cardiff. Wales going down 24-45. The French side somewhat returning to form. They've gone past Scotland on the table. Is that right? Because of that win?
Yeah. They've made wholesale changes too. I mean, Ramos at 10. He's obviously the normal fullback, plays at Toulouse, and he looked pretty comfortable there.
He looked good,
They've just got like for like. They've got a style they play. They've got some big fours. They had Manny Mirfu, Aussie boy that went up there. He's playing for Warringah Rats 5 years ago, went up there and went into the Espoirs and then went through to Toulouse and just got his citizenship. And, you know, if it's not him, it's another big fella in Roman Taufi-Fanua who came off the bench and got that charge down try. But, like, they've got, like, you know, and if it's not them, it's Tuolungi as well. Like, they've got, like, one of their locks is just a big
unit.
Brick of a unit. And then the other ones, the line out jumping, calling, getting around the park, and then their back row is strong, Aldrit and who's our old captain?
What's that? Olivion.
Olivion. Yeah, they've got a solid side.
Olivion. Olivion.
And they're strong. It's just taken them a few weeks to kind of really find those connections and click, but they seem to have done on the weekend.
Absolutely. Sadly for Wales, it's the wooden spoon.
No, not necessarily.
Is there mathematical equations?
There is. Ollie, if they beat Italy with a bonus point, I just have to beat them. They just need to beat Italy, which sounds simple, but it's not. They've got a young team, Wales. I thought they were super competitive up until probably the 60th minute, and then just the experience and the size of the French wore them down. But, yeah, so Wales don't have it yet. So it's out of me and Tommy because Tommy picked Italy. I had Wales.
Yes. So I was Scotland. Drew, you were France. Swoop, you were...
He was Irish, I think.
Yeah, he was. Jeez, he's
and
on.
Ollie was England because Ollie's from England, which is why we don't let him talk. Jokes. Love English people. All right, hey, that was the Six Nations summation. Very good, guys. Fantastic. Now, normally we have the quiz. People love the quiz. They write in about the quiz. Prof Moore quiz. Make the whole show a quiz.
They must DM you personally because I've never seen it on our stuff.
Have you been looking at MySpace?
Oh,
we have a
MySpace.
Still
around?
Massive following on MySpace.
I was on ICQ.
What is ICQ?
That was back before MSN.
You're joking.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, they're messaging on all of those and they'd like to make the whole show a quiz with me just hosting.
Sure.
And rotating cast is what they've said. We'll get there. Now, instead of doing that today, because we all know that Swoop holds the quiz together.
Yeah.
He's very much the life and soul of the quiz. We're going to do a new segment today.
Okay.
Something a little bit different. It's story time and it's called Coco with Coco.
Ooh.
What is...
The idea being that we're all going to have a hot little cup of cocoa. Which,
is that what this is? This little delicious
this
treat
here,
is?
And we're numbered there, 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, you're number one.
Bullshit. Thank you, Tommy.
Ain't nothing wrong with silver.
And
bronze. Fuck, that's hot.
Three, I'm
it
three.
It's warm. So the idea is we're going to share a cup of cocoa, and I want to hear some stories from you boys, because what happens a lot is...
It's delicious.
On YouTube, on Instagram, that sort of stuff, people write, hey, tell us the story about blah, blah, blah. Because obviously you've, in particular, Drew.
You've been with blah, blah, blah.
You are infamous for some of your stories.
Sure.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to, the main topics people come up with?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I just get into
it? Yeah, sure. There's a few.
Mate, what happened with Busta Rhymes?
Oh, good one.
Is this a well-known fact that you got into it with Busta?
I mean, I've told the story a few times on other podcasts.
Cheating on us?
Yeah, I know. Well, this is before we existed. So, okay. No, it was back in 2018, I signed up to do the New York Marathon. Just wanted to keep, you know, a bit of accountability around my physique at that point. Mm-hmm. Didn't take it too seriously. Went into the marathon having not run more than a half marathon probably 4 months prior to that. Flew over to New York with a good mate of mine, Pete Playford, who came down to the live show last week. He was there. His sole role was to get me to the start line. And if I couldn't, then he would jump in and run for me.
Sorry to cut in, but just I don't want you to leave this out. How early did you get there before?
Yeah, so we got there, I think it was... The actual run was the Sunday, which was the 2nd or 3rd of December or something. We got there the night before Halloween, which is pretty big in America. And so we got first night fever, as you do. Got home in early morning. Slept it off, went back again. And then we're like, okay, we can't go out tonight. It was Halloween. We're always going out. Got dressed up, went out again. Then third night, so the next day I had to go and get my bib from the collection point, got that, and then thought, you know what, I've just got to have a bit of a wholesome night, get some pasta in me, just get prepared for this, you know, this marathon that I was running the next day. And we went down towards Times Square and saw on the big screens and the bright lights that the UFC, Derek Lewis was fighting Daniel Cormier at Madison Square Garden. I'm like, fuck, you can't not go to that. Yeah. So we got tickets to that. Sat right down near ringside or octagon side. And that blew out until about a 3 a.m.
Did you get the pasta in?
I didn't get the pasta. I had some fried chicken at the Madison Square Garden.
What time is the start time for the marathon?
Well, my ferry was leaving for Staten Island at 5 a.m.
Okay.
So I got home at 3 a.m. And then... quick little blink and then got up, showered, got changed, matching tracksuits with Pete. He got me onto my flight. Oh, sorry, onto my ferry and away I went. And I was, you know, I won't go through the whole marathon, but I was wearing white shorts and I didn't know anyone on the, and they were like, geez, you're brave. I was like, what do you mean? Was it first marathon? I was like, yeah. And they said, mate, you never trust a fart after 20 miles. And I'm like, oh, of course, because, you know, a lot of people shit themselves in marathons.
Yeah. Well, famously, Paula Radcliffe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I was wearing white shorts, and I was like, oh, geez. Anyway, I soldiered on, like I do, finished the marathon. Didn't go out that night. I was a broken man.
Did you shit yourself?
No, I didn't shit myself, no.
Rash, though, didn't you?
Yeah, nipples were gone. They were bleeding. I did also send all my stuff, like at the start line, you can UPS your stuff to the finish line, so you collect your belongings. And I got there and just sent it straight away, but my start wasn't for another 3 hours. It was freezing cold. Yeah, so right. I just sat in a portaloo just sitting there because it was the warmest part of the place. Because I also turn off all phone data because of previous bombings at other marathon events and things. So you can't use your phone. I was just sitting there like 3 hours waiting for me to run this thing that I should definitely not have been running. Anyway, on the Monday, thought we'd go out for some...
Sorry, what time did you do the race in?
4 hours, 10 or something.
And did you place?
No, I didn't. I placed like 56,722nd or something.
Amazing.
I got a medal. I got a medal. Wow. Anyway, next morning, we go about 10 a.m., start hitting some Bloody Marys, and we just go on to a pretty big night. End up at this place called Avenue. We run into Angus Crichton and Dylan Napper.
You run into Angus Crichton everywhere.
Yeah, I know. Always offshore, but... having a big night with those boys. Those boys went home a little bit earlier than us. I was paying my bill. We were carrying on like I'd won the marathon. Like my bill was $6,000-$7,000 or something US. Yeah, I wouldn't. Jeez, I'd love to have that money now. anyway, so as I was signing this bill, Busta Rhymes walks past me, and I went, "Oh, Busta Rhymes!" And he goes, I kind of just like hit him because I was just a bit more surprised than anything. And I was there in my little clear frames, looking like the Milky Bar Kid, you know. And he goes, "Don't fucking touch me, bro." And I went, "Oh, listen, sorry, mate. Like, I'm just a fan." He goes, "Fuck you." And I went, "Listen, mate. Like, I didn't mean to, like, bother you. I'm a fan and wanted to say hi." And he goes, "Fuck you, you white-ass bitch." And I said, "Listen, mate, you don't fucking speak to people like that."
Whoa.
And I've never been in a fight in my life. Never stood in front of anyone and traded punches, right? Mm. But I was like, I'm fucking ready to go here, right. Busta Rhymes. So we go outside. And there are three Escalades parked waiting for him and all of his crew to kind of get in and leave. and it was just myself and Pete Payford at this point, and your mate, Lindsay Stevens, he fucking legged it.
He's not my mate, though. Let's make this clear. Lindsay, if you're watching, I don't like you.
Well, Lindsay legged it, so it was just Pete and I.
Standard.
But then Pete saw a bloke that sleeps on the street, parked up his trolley on the side, and Pete went over to him and said, mate, I'll give you $300 if you help us fight Buster Arms. And he was like, I'll fight Buster Arms for $300. He parked his trolley up. So then I'm in this I'm in this verbal with Buster Rhymes across the street, and his people are trying to get him in the car, and I'm sort of like spraying him, he's spraying me back. And I said, listen, all you've fucking done is pimp a few people's rides. But now, of course, that's Exhibit, not Buster Rhymes. I've just mixed him up. And he fucking, something's clicked on him there, because then he started charging me, and then we've grabbed each other, and we've kind of like tripped over all the, you know, the garbage pickup.
Oh, you're starting to have a wrestle.
Well, it started to be a bit more of a melee. Yeah. You know, like all the garbage pickups, curbside pickup.
Yeah, just big
in New York
bags that they don't.
So we're like tripping over those, and then all his guys come in, and Pete and the homeless guy, we jump in, and then the security came out and separated us all, and I'm sort of like, and his guys are just getting him into the car and whatever, and the security's like, listen, mate, like we saw everything that's going on, like he's being a dick, but it only takes one of his people to want to move up and just pull a gun. And I was like, yeah, I probably didn't think about that.
Neither did the homeless person.
And I, because there was no fight, this is Pete, my mate Pete's interpretation. He said because there was no actual fight, he didn't get 300.
Oh.
I thought it was pretty stiff, but I just paid $7,000 for our bill, so I wasn't forking out another 300. But, yeah, I was ready to go. I mean, I would have got my head caved
in. So it never occurred to you, because I'm sure I've heard a couple of rap songs that involve guns.
Yeah,
I'm sure of it over the years.
Buster Rhyme, you'll break your neck.
It's actually in his songs. I'll bust a cat. I think he actually says that.
That's exactly how he says it.
I mean, it didn't cross my mind because, I don't know, it's not something you think of here in Oz.
No.
And I also don't make a habit of getting in fights with gangsters.
Well, no. I mean, we've only done about 15 of these shows, if you include the old ones, and we've already got you and Bruno Mars stepping two.
Well, that was a bit more
fault.
But I was there for support.
We've got you and Buster Rhymes. Is there anybody else that...
Oh, I'm sure there's probably a few others. But I've never fought.
No.
But I just had to stand up for myself.
Oh, 100%. Like,
absolutely. You're no bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're in New York and you see Buster Rhymes, you tell him what?
That Biv's going to break his neck.
You tell him Biv's going to break his neck. Well, that was Coco with Coco. That's lovely.
A delicious
couple,
Coco,
by the way. Tell me, what is in there? Is that, that's pure chocolate, isn't it? Chocolate and cinnamon.
Yeah, the cinnamon. Oh, I love cinnamon.
I'm an eclectic to cinnamon.
That's better for ratings.
Have you drunk any of that?
Well, there's nothing in it.
Good acting, though. You are a very good actor. Wonderful segment. If you are, say, in the hot chocolate business and you're looking to drop, say, $250,000... This
Milo.
Is the show.
Oh, Milo
for
be good.
Milo.
Yeah.
Got to be made of Milo. Yeah.
Milo with Coco.
That'd be great. A couple of things I need to go through very quickly. The Heritage Ball behind you gets.
You want me to grab it?
Yeah, they dropped that off to me at my house on the weekend. They are called, let me get this right, Heritage Footballs. You can find them on Instagram. They've made us some beautiful kickoffs and kick on leather balls on set. If you have a team. Maybe you're a, I don't know, university, or you're just a local team and you want to do some of these Heritage Balls, contact them. Heritage Balls, thank you so much. Heritage Footballs. Very
phenomenal to kick too. They're not like your old leather ones. They rebound beautifully.
Oh, fantastic. Now, just a reminder, nordvpn.com/thecoco show. A big thanks to you for supporting us. They are our new sponsor. They're over my shoulder just here. Now, if you do this particular URL, nordvpn.com/thecoco show, you get 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the podcast episode description box. And you know we like full transparency here on this show. They've basically said they're going to support us for 3 shows, and if nobody buys any, we can go and get fucked. So this is how you keep our show alive.
Yeah.
Please. Get some dirty habit and then just click on it and keep us afloat. All right. Hey, just a reminder, you can find us at Kickoffs and Kick-Ons everywhere, Instagram, X, etc. YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe. Say it with me, guys.
Like and subscribe.
Fantastic. That's how we're going to survive. We're going really good at the moment. I think our Insta's up to 11.7. Just absolutely flying.
Schmitting in.
Thank you. Schmitting it in. Well, look, all that's left to do, I believe, is say a fond farewell. I'll do my Dally M's, my 3-2-1, swoop 3. Very good
today,
mate.
Better than normal.
Better than normal.
It's not Dally M's, mate.
Sorry.
Johnny Hills medal.
Do you do 3-2-1s in the Johnny Hills medals?
Yeah.
You got to teach me, boys.
Yeah.
Go the Mighty Seagulls this week. We'll get it done. Good luck to you. Watch all the superb rugby you can find. It is very good, and it's Aussie teams are on the up.
Yeah.
Anything to add, boys?
No, it's some great footy. Get around it. Actually, what I will say just quickly, two of the girls from the Aussie Sevens the last couple of tournaments played their 50th tournaments. Like, huge effort. Shani Smale and Charlotte Kaslick, absolute stalwarts of the program, but absolutely doing amazing things still. And 50 tournaments, 50 trips around the world.
Oh, that's not bad.
Not bad.
Which lounge would they be in at the airport?
Oh, you'd think they'd be surely a bit like, well, yeah, the chairman's lounge maybe?
Whoa.
How do you get in there?
You got to get invited.
Yeah, so I've made a bet with my old man that I'll get in there before him.
So, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So if you're out there, you can get me in the chairman's lounge.
Yeah, right.
And thanks for getting me up. Which lounge were we in on the weekend? I haven't been in one before. What was that one?
We got you into, was the that the bronze lounge or something that we got profit?
Oh, yeah.
We dropped him off and then we kept going.
Yeah, normally I'm just sitting outside of Porto. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Very kind of you. All right, that was Kickoffs and Kick-Ons. Fare thee well. We'll see you next week. Give us one, lads.
True.
Cuckoo!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.